You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
So appreciate you being with us, friends. We've got a lot to get to. What's the latest on the border crisis? What's the latest in the goings-ons of that audit out in Arizona? And a number of other stories that you very much care strongly about. We've got John Solomon, Charmaine Yost, and Governor Mike Huckabee straight ahead, plus some thoughts from me.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
Yeah, he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, friends, I'm so glad to have you with us. Thank you for being here. This weekend's going to be great. I hope that you'll make plans to spend some of it with people that you love, spend some of it talking to God, spend some of it doing things that you need to do to just rest and be ready for next week. I hope that it is a fulfilling weekend for you. But before we get there, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and it is one of those things where I just wished I could have been a fly on the wall. I honestly do. What are you talking about, Kev? Yesterday, late in the afternoon, I wished I could have been a little fly on the wall inside the Capitol building in the United States, Washington, D.C., Capitol building, because, and I couldn't get there because they have the razor wire up for whatever protest that did not happen. I don't know. But they did a vote yesterday, because, you know, they're trying to get this defense package done. And this $3.5 trillion infrastructure done, which Senator Schumer now assures the president he's got the votes for. I still don't know that that's true. But yesterday there was a specific vote on something that the squad had brought up. You know, the squad, Representative Presley, Representative Tlaib, Representative Omar, Representative AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And three of the four of the squad, Ms. Presley, Tlaib, and Omar, all voted against us giving funding for something called the Iron Dome in Israel. Now, the squad, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, had been out advertising to their fellow representatives, hey, let's not fund the Iron Dome. Isn't that a great idea? And they were going office to office, congressperson to congressperson. They were enlisting anybody that they could get, and they would corner them, and they would say, hey, don't you think that we should stop funding the Iron Dome? And wouldn't it be better if we didn't spend that money on the Iron Dome? And don't you want to be cool like us, the cool kids in the squad? And if you want to be like us, it was kind of like a bad episode of Mean Girls. It was like a bad episode of Mean Girls. They're all there trying to guilt the other representatives into not backing Israel with funding for the Iron Dome. And they lobbied and they advocated and they went door to door and they tried to use their sultry voice in some sort of seductive way. Hey, wouldn't you like to be cool? Vote against funding for the Iron Dome. And then they had the debate. The debate took place late yesterday, and as the votes and as the debate closed, they said it is time to take the vote, and they hammered in the voting process. And so now you know what happened. Some 500 people, 430 something, start going in and casting their vote. And there's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez looking at the screen, saying in her mind, all right, we're going to show those Israelis who's boss. We're going to, so there's another vote to fund it. Okay, well, the next one, we'll show them there. And another vote goes to fund it. And there's another 10 votes to fund it. And wait a minute, there's only one vote not to fund it so far. And then there's 22 votes that are funding it and still only one vote against it. And then there's 50 votes for it and only two votes against it. And all of a sudden, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is caught up in a drama that she never envisioned before. it's going to come down to her. How is she going to vote? No, it's not actually going to come down to her, because there were 420 people of the 435 or so that decided they wanted to run for Congress and win last year. 420 of them voted in favor of funding the Iron Dome for Israel. But as the clock ticked on, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the girl who single-handedly chased Amazon out of Queens, knew that her vote was about to come. And so she had argued so passionately to end the Iron Dome. She had argued so forcefully with her, well, kind of forcefully. I mean, she got 9 votes for it. But, you know, forcefully in the minds of those, not, well, really only 5, because the other 4 were part of the squad. But at the end of the day, she had convinced enough people to say, well, not enough, not nearly enough, but a handful of people to say, I am not going to support the Iron Dome. I don't know why I'm not supporting it, but I'm not going to support it because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez asked me to, and I want her to go on a date with me or something. I don't know. I do not know what the ramifications were, but in some way she got 9 people to go along with it. And then it came down to her, and she voted present. It's kind of weird because present isn't for and it's not against. She can literally come back to New York City if she wants to run for Senator Schumer's seat and say, oh, I never voted against the Iron Dome, because it's true. She didn't vote against the Iron Dome. She didn't vote against funding the Iron Dome. She can actually say this. Those of you that live in Queens and in the rest of the state of New York, when she decides she's going to run and she wants the Jewish vote in New York, she's now going to be able to say, I did not vote against the funding for the Iron Dome. Now, her opponents will accurately say she didn't vote for it, but that's a lot less mean than saying she voted against it. You can do a good campaign commercial by saying, oh, she voted against it. She hates Israel. No, you just say, well, she didn't vote against it. She didn't vote for it. So she's kind of like this nothing bland middle. It's kind of like the scripture that says, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. AOC was lukewarm yesterday on the Iron Dome funding, despite the fact that she had her squad mates and the other 5 people that she somehow hypnotized and brainwashed into voting against the Iron Dome. Anyway, it went down by a score of 420 to 9-2. She and one other person voted present. I don't know who it was. But then that wasn't even the best part. The best part then is she goes outside of the chamber in view of the cameras and she begins to bawl. She's crying. She's crying like she hasn't cried since her abuela's house had $300,000 donated by conservatives to try to fix it up. She didn't bawl like this since she went and she picked out her Tesla and they didn't have the right color interior for her car seats that she wanted. She looked like some freaky Halloween project out of a horror movie. She was crying so hard. And why was she crying? She was crying because the Congress had just passed continuation of funding for the Iron Dome for our closest ally, Israel. Now, why is that significant? Well, let me tell you what the Iron Dome does. I've been to Israel. I've seen it in operation. When Hezbollah or Hamas or other radical Muslim entities want to launch missiles at Israel, the Iron Dome intercepts the missiles and keeps the fallout from landing in Israeli populated areas. So let's say that the wonderful people of Hamas decide to shoot a building in Tel Aviv, you know, where there's lots of kids and women and children and families. The Iron Dome says, oh, no, 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 no. And it blows up the missile long before it gets to where it was intended to go. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was crying because that funding to keep that Iron Dome in place passed. In other words, what would have made her happy is if Hamas was able to fire a missile and kill a lot of Israelis. The last time they had a flare up on the border, I think Hamas launched 400 missiles in like 3 days. And the Iron Dome shot them all down. That's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was crying about, that Israelis would live. That's just weird, friends. I'm sorry. And I know that I wasn't a fly on the wall, and I wished I could have been. It was a moment, I think, that we will all wish we could have witnessed at some point in time, because after she had advocated so hard for the defunding the Iron Dome. But 420 Democrats and Republicans and independents said, no. Israel's our ally, and we shouldn't let terrorists just kill them anytime they want to. So that's what happened. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, we've got a lot of news to get to. John Solomon's up next. Charmaine Yost, Governor Mike Huckabee. And something weird took place on The View this morning. I mean, weirder than normal. We'll talk about it all before we're done. Stay here. It's Kevin McCullough. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
Have faith in your future. Know that you're destined for more than a paycheck. You were born to live your purpose. Join a community of believers seeking higher education at Nyack College. Apply or transfer to a degree in business, nursing, social work, ministry, music, and more. 95% of students receive financial aid. So apply now at NIAC.edu, NIAC College. Have faith in your future.
The Ask Sister Jean live gospel broadcast is praying for you. Sister Jean invites you to call in your prayers every Sunday from 5 until 6 p.m. at 718-653-7970. Keep prayer on the air with your donations to Sister Jean at 718-653-7970. Is there something you need prayer for? The Bible quotes in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." If you have a prayer request, call Sister Jean at 718-653-7970 and Sister Jean will pray for you.
Download the AM570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Now it's time for Sabal Meats Recipe of the Week. Each Friday, Sabal bringing you delicious, top-quality recipes that you can make right at home. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this exquisite recipe from Sabal Meats. You can find these or any of the products at a supermarket near you, including BJ's, Costco, Jetro, Stop & Shop, and Sam's Club. This week's recipe is chickpea salami salad. Chickpeas, also known as garbanzos in Spain and Latin American countries, are a member of the pea family. Chickpea mixed with our Jamonita Campesino, which is a Hispanic-style luncheon loaf made with beef and pork, makes a delicious combination to enjoy. If you are on the run or want to create a fast and easy meal, enjoy this refreshing and delicious salad with Jamonita Campesino salami. Sabal's chickpea salami salad includes 2 cups of cherry tomatoes and chickpeas, half cups of roasted peppers and red onions, but most importantly, 2 delicious cups of Sabal's large diced Jamonita Campesino salami. First, cut up all your vegetables and salami into strips and put them all in a bowl. Then season your mix with 3 tablespoons of olive oil and 1/4 cup of parsley. Once all your ingredients are in the bowl together, now it's time to mix everything. When ready, serve it chilled or at room temperature for that rich quality taste. The perfect combination of flavors between soft and creamy with the quality seal of Sabal meat products, more than a half century of tradition and quality. Mouth-watering recipes like the chickpea salami salad are what has established the brand and prestige of Sabal Meats. To see the full recipe for the chickpea salami salad, visit WMCA's Facebook page at AM570 The Mission. Don't miss out on this delicious recipe that you can bring right to your front door. One more time, see the full recipe for the chickpea salami salad on WMCA's Facebook page at AM570 The Mission. This has been this week's Sabal Meats Recipe of the Week. And remember, if you don't see their logo from the start, don't put it in your shopping cart. Sabal Meat Products, over 50 years of tradition and quality, make it your tradition today. If there's one word to describe dating in New York City, it's exhausting. Endless swiping on dating apps gets you nowhere. In our fast-paced world, it can be a daunting thing finding that someone special. But fear not, Elite Connections International is there to take the reins and help you find the love of your life. Elite Connections International is the premier dating agency in New York City with 27 years of unparalleled success and an A-plus business rating. Thousands of couples have been matched and are happily married. Meet their professional matchmakers and find the person you've been searching for. Family-owned and operated since 1994, Elite Connections International can connect you with New York's exclusive singles. They can find you someone special that matches your specific preferences and dating needs. Give Elite Connections International a call today, 800-923-4200. That's 800-923-4200, or email them at info@eliteconnections.com.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us, friends. And I'm reminded every day when I check the website, justthenews.com, what a great job my next guest does. John Solomon and team have the best contacts, the best sources. They know things that nobody else knows for weeks later. And it's truly amazing. But they broke a story yesterday and to this moment. I don't think I saw anybody talk about it earlier, about how Florida, the state of Florida, had been able to get some additional monoclonal antibodies coming from a UK firm. You know that the president tried to take away the cure for COVID in a state that desperately needed it. But Governor DeSantis said, yeah, we'll just checkmate you there and go a different direction. That's the kind of reporting John Solomon gets his hands on. And we welcome him back today. John, happy Friday to you. Thanks for being here. And I'm glad to get you back on my show. Every time I've talked to you recently, it's been over on John Katz's show. But we have fun there, too. Hey, let me ask you, there's a ton of crazy stuff going on. And I was speaking with Peter Navarro just a couple of days ago, and former Senator D'Amato was part of the conversation as well. And Senator D'Amato nearly lost his brain yelling at Peter Navarro over the voter fraud issue and saying that, you know, those reports that he authored for the president never had any teeth to them, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of activity going on in different states. What's going on with the recount and the audits and all that kind of stuff?
Well, the big news is Arizona today, because today the auditors hired by the Republican Senate leaders in Arizona, state Senate leaders, are unveiling their results. We already have a copy of those results at Just the News a few hours before they're about to be released officially. Here's what they show. They conclude that the final vote tally, showing that Biden beat Trump, was essentially accurate. In fact, it was 91 votes short for Biden. Biden actually got 91 more votes in Maricopa County in Phoenix than had been previously reported or certified. But then it went on to say that while the vote count was accurate, when you dig into the ballots of what was counted, it flagged between 44,000 and 57,000 ballots in the largest county in Arizona, Maricopa, includes the city of Phoenix, of course, that were suspect. And then they gave them different gradients, critically suspect, highly suspect, medium suspect. And it recommended that these ballots be pulled out and further investigated through two means, a canvas, where you go back and you actually interview the voter and say, did you really cast this vote? Did someone cast it in your name? Were you really in the state when you voted, or had you moved already? And then for the Attorney General of Arizona, a guy named Mark Brnovich, to investigate the ballots further to see if any fraud was involved. So both sides will claim victory. Well, look, the vote count was accurate, and then that's what the Democrats will say. This thing's over. That's what they're saying right now. And the Republicans and the Trump supporters will say, yeah, but it counted 57,000 votes that the auditors say are suspect. And what it really does is it extends this argument for many more months. It's going to come down, most likely, to whether the Attorney General of Arizona, a man who has his own political ambitions, he's announced he's going to run for Senate in 2022 against Mark Kelly, I believe it is, whether he will take the next step and take those out of the millions of votes now, just focus on the 57,000 and find out, are they truly suspect? or are there good explanations for them? Now, that has to be reconciled further. Right now, this is a data analysis, and you could have two John Smiths and they're the same person, or you could have two John Smiths and they're different people that
right.
just happen to vote in the same election. So the 57,000 is a roadmap, but I think both sides will see what they want in it. But at the end of the day, here's the bigger question. In America, 10 months after an election's over, do we still want 57,000 votes to be in dispute? I don't think we do. And I think there are very sound recommendations in this audit how to make sure that in 2022, we don't relive the 2020 horror again.
Is it your feeling, John, that the temperature in Arizona is such that they will implement these recommendations? Because I'm kind of the opinion, as much as I didn't like the way the election turned out, that the best outcome for conservatives in particular is to not to try to go relitigate 2020. Sure, let's get an accurate picture of what happened. Let's implement reforms. But let's talk about what needs to be done now and focus forward on where we go. Do you feel like those reforms will be instituted in Arizona? Do they have the appetite for it?
There already have been some reforms done piecemeal by the legislature. Things like banning Zuckerberg dollars, or Mark Zuckerberg giving money to the election judges, basically paying off the referees, as the critics would call it. That has been banned, and there have been many changes made in Arizona. But there are still 6 or 8 very important recommendations that this report will do. We saw the same thing go on in Georgia, right? Right after the election, Georgia has passed really sweeping election reforms, significant election reforms. And after they passed the election reforms, they took the next step. Their longtime problem child has been Atlanta, Fulton County. There've been problems counting votes, malfeasance and mismanagement there for decades. And because the new law gave the legislature or the state elections board new power, the state has now taken the first step to say, you know what, we're not going to let Fulton County count votes anymore. We're going to take over that operation because they have been so consistently bad at what they do. They've had so many problems. People will remember a famous story on Just the News a couple months ago. We got this document under the Freedom of Information Act, 29 pages of problems that Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State's own office, found. Things like double scanning ballots, not protecting the privacy of voter ballots so that people counting could see the name and the vote when they shouldn't. People transporting ballots in completely insecure ways where they could be stolen, dumped in the garbage can. All these things were confirmed in an investigation after the election. And now Georgia took the step to go and fix all these things. They're going to take Fulton County into receivership. They passed numerous laws. Texas, Florida has done that. So across the country, there is a election integrity reform movement going on. We'll see how Arizona reacts to this ballot. I assume there'll be very partisan reactions. And then you hope wiser heads will prevail. The good news for Republicans is they control the legislature and the governorship. So if they want to do it, they can get it done.
They've got the means to do it. The question is, will they have the will to? John Solomon, always appreciate it, man. You always have the breaking stuff, and I want everybody to read your things at justthenews.com. Just the news. Tough URL to remember. Justthenews.com. John Solomon, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you got lower back pain, neck pain, upper back pain, even sciatica, maybe completely debilitated from walking due to the amounts of pain in your back, then you need to talk to my great friend, Dr. Melinda Keller. As the director of the Brooklyn Spine Center, she specializes in that non-surgical spinal decompression. And what I love about Dr. Keller is that she's committed to eradicating the pain, not with scary injections or surgery, but she wants to make sure your spine is healthy. She gives you a complete diagnosis. And if you have a bulging disc, spinal stenosis, sciatica, or herniated disc, she is going to point you in an all-natural direction first that will not cut on your body or put shots into your system. Find out for yourself, because she's going to help you alleviate that pain and doing things like walk freely again and playing with your kids or grandkids. So call Dr. Keller now, 718-234-6200. That's 718-234-6200. And let Dr. Keller and the Brooklyn Spine Center help you today. That's 718-234-6200 or Brooklyn Spine Center. honor.com.
Honor. Tradition. Strength. Pride. Representing the United States Military Academy, a new class of black knights will find out what it's like to wear the black and gold.
Touchdown, Army!
Go, Army!
This is Rich DeMarco. Tune in this Saturday at 11:30 as the Black Knights open the season on the road against the Georgia State Panthers on New York's home for Army football. AM 570, 102.3 FM, The Mission.
It's Dr. Lederman speaking with 007 about prostate cancer.
You're 007.
The real 007. I was diagnosed in 2005 with prostate cancer. I requested a biopsy.
Why?
Going up, I got a biopsy that I had cancer in my prostate.
And then the doctor told you, hey, you got to have
surgery.
Did your doctor tell you about Dr. Lederman and radiosurgery?
It's his bread and butter to operate. Not only do they leave the cancer behind, which is the most important thing, but you're incontinent and your sex life is kaput. I knew about your treatment, which was very easy to do.
15 years later, your PSA is zero.
My urinary life is okay. My sex life is very good.
For more cancer information, call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted, 1384 Broadway. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. 1-800-936-5496.
Angie's List is now Angie. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or you're planning your dream renovation, Angie connects you with top local pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, compare quotes, and book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
She fights to protect America's heritage. Heritage Foundation Vice President of the Institute for Family, Community, and Opportunity, Dr. Charmaine Yost, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, my friend Katie Pavlich, I guess she's also one of my bosses, the executive editor for townhall.com, posted on Twitter yesterday, Jen Psaki says horses will no longer be used in Del Rio. She says this policy change is a result of smears and lies from members of the media, Democrat operatives, and the White House. There is zero deterrence from the federal government and Biden administration against illegal immigration. And she said the criminals are winning and the Biden administration is choosing to let them do so. Here to discuss a very confusing situation on the southern border, Charmaine Yost of the Heritage Foundation. She deals with all things freedom and family related there. Charmaine, I think that this has to be one of the stranger stories of the week because just about everything reported on it initially was false. Nobody was being beaten. And yet the Border Patrol that were involved were disciplined anyway. Given desk duty, the people that replaced them have had their horses taken away from them, and there is literally no defense of the border, no ability to keep people on the proper side of the border now that they have done, they've gone to these measures. What do you make of this entire fiasco?
You know, Kevin, I just think that it's really kind of, it's an amazing encapsulation of what's going on in our country today, that this administration is making the Texas Rangers give up their horses down on the border. They're being really, really clear that this is just standard operating procedure using the mounted border patrol to patrol the border, that there was no abuse of anyone involved. And yet, you know, they're still going to do the thing based on optics instead of defending people who are just trying to do their job.
Yeah. You know where else that we use horses to do crowd control? New York City on a regular basis. When we have large gatherings, we still have. In fact, I heard the former mayor saying the other day that he doubled the number of horses for some events just because he knew that the deterrent was so strong. I believe the nation's capital has used them as well, but you would know better than me on that particular note. But this is not even something that is just unique to the border. We regularly do this because there's a way of training and using horses that are that is actually humane to the humans involved and keeps people in their proper places.
Well, it kind of goes again to something that we've been talking about a lot over this last year, is that the whole idea in America, we are a very large country, and one of the reasons that we've endured as long as we have is the principle of federalism and having governance closest to the people. If there was a problem, it needed to be something that Texas was taking a look at, not being dictated from down on high in D.C. Having said that, I do have a question for you, Kevin.
Okay.
Have we yet seen the federal person who has been tasked with, you know, making sure things are going okay at the border? Have we seen that person at the border yet? Has that happened?
Well, she would just cackle and laugh at you if you asked her that question, and she would wonder what's wrong, and she'd probably be wondering who was allowed to get into the gaggle to ask the question to begin with. But no, the vice president has not been down there, and meanwhile, these hordes and crowds continue to grow and build, particularly this group in the Del Rio region right there under that bridge.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me, Kevin, is as this problem and this border crisis continues to build, continues to grow, the coverage of it continues to decline statistically. I saw something, I would want to double check, but it was something in the neighborhood of network coverage of the border crisis has declined something like 90%. You know, this is just kind of, you know, this kind of bias just isn't acceptable when you have something of the magnitude of this kind of crisis, combined with the fact that at the time we're talking about vaccine mandates at the federal level, we're not dealing with the fact that our southern border has become completely porous, and that also plays into the coronavirus concerns.
So, well, certainly. And then just as an extra layer of goodies on top of that, Charmaine, tack on the fact that we found out this week that of all the people we airlifted out of Afghanistan, only 7% of them were American citizens. Only 6% of them were Afghan allies that had helped us while we were there. And the other 84% are people we have no idea, literally no idea who they are, what they've been associated with, what their backgrounds are, or what diseases they're bringing in, which have thus far included malaria, measles, and tuberculosis, I believe, in the numbers that have gotten here. So, and we're just busing people to the inner cities, you know, from the southern border. They're just loading up migrants and sending them off. And which city gets them and why and where they're headed, it's hard to understand a rationale for any of the policy, except that it's just an abject failure, and it is really concerning. Have to cut it off there. Charmaine, always good to talk to you, though.
Great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.
This is Carol Platt-Lebow for townhall.com. As people across the United States watch the debacle in Afghanistan, there's virtually unanimous agreement on two points. First, no American who wants to come home should be left behind. Second, we must ensure the safety of the Afghans who helped us. But given the frenzied haste with which the Biden administration is flying tens of thousands of Afghans into the country, hard questions are in order. How carefully are these new arrivals being vetted? One man flown into America reportedly works for ISIS. It would be a tragedy if our commitment to the safety of our Afghan friends were exploited by terrorists and enabled by the incompetence of our own government. What we've seen of the Biden administration's ineptitude, or worse, both in Afghanistan and on our southern border, hardly inspires confidence. It's time for some answers on exactly who's coming here. America's security depends on it.
publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, NMLS ID 128231, Equal Housing Lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Offer based on loans over $250,000. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
What's better than a mortgage interest rate and APR in the twos? How about a no closing cost mortgage loan with an interest rate and APR in the twos? That's right. We have no closing cost loans here at Cash Call Mortgage. We pay the title, escrow, and appraisal fees. So if you're looking to save a little cash on your monthly mortgage payment, call Cash Call Mortgage today. Our quotes are always free. If your mortgage rate APR is not in the twos, Cash Call Mortgage could lower your interest rate and save you some cash. What are you waiting for? With low rates and no closing cost options, now is the time to refinance your mortgage. For a free quote to see if you qualify, go to cashcallmortgage.com or call us today. Call 800-931-6651. That's 800-931-6651. 800-931-6651.
September 11th, 2001, the day the world stood still. You remember exactly where you were when you got the news. You felt vulnerable. The unimaginable happened. Terror struck America at our very heart. It changed us all forever. But though we felt fear, we also felt courage. Our country came together. As one, we arose and decided that we would stand together in the face of great terror and adversity. 9/11 forever changed not only the United States, but also the Middle East. The 20th anniversary of 9/11 is once again a time to reflect. Join us as we remember and honor the past, take a look at the new Middle East, and pray for God's hand to move. Hear from leading experts about the future of this important region, including Joel C. Rosenberg, Ann Graham Lotz, Dr. Mitch Glazer, and frontline workers from 9/11, with music by Marty Goetz and Misha. To register, go to 911theconference.com. Sponsored by Chosen People Ministries and the Alliance for the Peace of Jerusalem.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
He is one of the longest-serving governors in American history, a two-time presidential candidate, a top-rated Fox News Channel host, and all of that before being known as Sarah's dad, Governor Mike Huckabee, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
And I'm telling you, in the very near future, we may have to add to his long list of accomplishments the only living father of a current governor. Because looks like Sarah Huckabee is going to be the next governor of Arkansas. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Governor Mike Huckabee, welcome back. As always, a pleasure to speak with you, sir, on this Friday. It's been a crummy week. If you love America and if you are proud of those people that serve in America to keep America safe. And I mean, Governor, whether it's the two guys that we airlifted out of Afghanistan, part of the 84% who we have no idea who they are or where they came from or anything else. And the two guys in Wisconsin that have now, I guess, been raping children and women and we didn't know about it. And they're, you know, we're just busing these people into places with, you know, God knows where, or whether it's on the border where those poor guys that wear the Border Patrol uniform, God bless them. They're trying to do everything they can to keep America safe and using long standing standard techniques. I mean, I was just talking with Charmaine Yost in the last segment. We use horses in New York. In fact, Governor, yeah. Mayor Giuliani just told me a couple of days ago, Kev, on some things that we did at different times, I doubled or tripled the number of horses we had on the streets. This is a longstanding practice, and I guess the president didn't like it in his press conference this morning.
Well, at the press conference, it was about COVID, which, of course, takes the focus away from all the many failures that he has, although COVID is one of them. The first question came out about the border, the total mess that it is, how many thousands of people are just walking right over and finding their way all over the country. It's not just a South Texas issue. And he, in turn, immediately pivoted to talking about how horrible it was that those Border Patrol agents on horseback used their reins and were hitting people. And I'm sitting there in disbelief saying, he's the president of the United States. I know he has staff members who brief him and who tell him what's happening. Either they lied to him, he's lying to us, or they're all a bunch of the biggest idiots who never rode a horse. Let's just say this. Anybody with IQ slightly above broccoli would clearly understand and watch those photos and understand they were not whipping anybody. Right. They were not being mean or mistreating anyone. What they were doing was their job. It's the same thing that happens, as you mentioned, in New York City with the horse patrol. But the worst thing is, here's what Joe Biden said. Kevin, he said, we're going to make these agents pay. We're going to aggressively discipline them. And I'm thinking, for what? For doing what they've been trained to do and what they've been doing for 100 years as Border Patrol agents on horseback? This is insane. And I'm just stunned that he sold out the Border Patrol agents, once again, taking the side of illegal aliens as opposed to his own law enforcement people. And it's like, Joe, I don't know if you remember this, but the reason those horses were there is because people were breaking the law trying to invade the United States of America that you swore on a Bible that you would protect and defend.
Right.
What happened to that, Joe?
Well, what happened to Joe, period? Like, I don't think there's a functional brain in that shell of a person. And so the real scary question, Governor, is how long does the nation put up with this kind of, bizarre kind of half there presidency? I mean, the most common response he has exhibited towards legitimate questions asked about the problems of the tenure of his presidency is to turn around and walk out of the room. I don't remember in my short time of covering, basically the presidency since about Nixon forward, I don't remember another president responding that way once, much less dozens of times within just the first year of their presidency. But this is the standard way that they're dealing with it. And Governor, last week or this week, when he ushered out when they had the British prime ministers there, and he's doing the public portion of their meeting with the press, they take two questions from the British press. The first American question is lobbed in, and immediately the White House handlers shut the meeting down and yell over the questions of the American press and send everybody out. I don't remember when we said it's okay for the president not to have to answer our questions. The rules don't apply to them. There's something completely different about who they are and what everybody else has been as a president prior to them.
Well, Kevin, part of the responsibility for what you've just said lies with the press. If they continue to stand by and let this feeble individual shuffle in, call on people that are pre-approved so they don't get too harsh of a question, and then when he's taken three questions, shuffle out and turn his back and run like Forrest Gump, if the press isn't going to hold him responsible and accountable, and they're not going to do anything but cover for his utter ineptitude in the job,
right,
then why isn't he going to continue to avoid real questions and taking responsibility for what's going on? And by the way, one of the things he said when the reporter asked him, is it your responsibility what's happening in the border? He said, yes, it's my responsibility. That's why I'm going to punish these agents. And I was so stunned, I almost fell out of my chair watching,
wow,
thinking,
wow,
you've got to be kidding, man. You just sold out your people. If these folks didn't have to feed their families, every one of them ought to resign and just say, Joe, it's all yours, pal.
Good luck.
You come down here. Yeah, I mean, and where was Kamala Harris, the person he put in charge, she was sitting on The View this morning, flapping her jaw. First time she's been seen in a long time. And by the way, Jen Psaki never answered Peter Ducey's question, has Joe Biden ever been to the southern border in his 40-year Senate career, in 8 years as vice president, or as president? She's never answered that question. And I can tell you why, because he's never been there.
Yeah, stunning, stunning. Well, I wanted to talk to you about Israel and the Iron Dome. We'll have to do that some other time. But give me a taste of what's coming up on Huckabee Today this weekend.
Hey, it's going to be an amazing show because Meatloaf will be performing. It'll be first time on stage in 6 years. He's battled some back issues. He's back on stage. It's going to be an awesome experience. We've got Congressman Mark Green. We have David White, who will be talking about his new Christian film that's coming out. And just to throw in a little entertainment, we've got a guy who rides a unicycle and does tricks on it. I'm sure you and I could do those same things, but we have to do it.
That's it. Well, just pass this on to Meatloaf for me. You know, I could do anything for love, but I won't do that. Governor, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Kevin. Thank you.
We'll see you. All right. There you go. There he goes. Busy governor, busy TV show host, busy future father of a governor, grandparent of maybe future governors. Who knows? Those Huckabees down there in Arkansas, they stay busy. All right. Kevin McCullough, when we come back, my final thought for the day. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Sabal Meat Products wants you to enjoy a sandwich with their finest Induveca ham, Campesino sharp cheddar, or queso Hayo cheese. It's summertime, and what's better than a delicious sandwich filled with Sabal meat while lounging by the pool or after a long day at the beach? There's nothing better than Sabal meat on the grill. The perfect combination of flavors between soft and creamy with a quality seal of Sabal Meat Products. More than a half a century of tradition and quality making the best Hispanic-styled salamis such as Induveca and Campesino, the Don Filo line, Pavolami, which is 100% turkey, and many more. That's why if you don't see the logo from the start, don't put it in your shopping cart. Now you have a chance to win these luscious flavors and a whole basket full of other amazing products. Just head to am570themission.com and click on the Sabal Meat Contest banner and enter to win. See complete contest rules at am570themission.com. Sabal Meat Products, tradition of quality.
Hey, Pastor Darren Golston here from Hope Outreach Ministries, where everyone is welcome, where we serve the I Am Possible God. We are building people of faith, love, and power. We invite you to come out and worship with us in person. You can find us at 333 13th Avenue in Newark, New Jersey. Our doors open at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. Come and experience heaven on earth or join us on Facebook Live at 3 p.m. at Hope Outreach Ministries for Everyone. We promise you will never be the same as you experience the presence of Almighty God.
Sadly, in 2020, 24 children died of pediatric vehicular heat stroke, and many of these incidents occurred when parents or caregivers simply forgot the child was in the car. A child's body temperature rises 3 to 5 times faster than an adult's, and leaving a child in a hot vehicle can lead to their death very quickly. If you see a child left unattended and can't locate their parents, call 911. If the child looks unresponsive, do whatever it takes to get him or her out safely, including breaking the window. Your actions may save the life of a child.
Brought to you by NHTSA.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to be with you on a Friday. Got a big weekend show this weekend, friends, on Radio Night Live, the original, the weekend of, edition. We're going to have Monica Crowley, Dr. Monica Crowley, for the first time in the Ladies' Lounge, and we're going to celebrate 10 years of the movie Courageous, having come out with, by the Kendrick brothers, and Stephen Kendrick is scheduled to be with us. And we've also got special music from the artists of the soundtrack for Courageous. So that's all tomorrow night on Radio Night Live. And if you want to basically know how to tune in and where to get it, it's coming soon to the Salem News Channel when that launches, but we're not launched there yet. You can also stream it on Twitter. We'll have it posted there. You can find out when to tune in on Instagram. And also we will be on Biz TV, BizTV.com. You can watch it on the homepage of the website there. But Radio Night Live tomorrow should be a great time. And, of course, we're in 300 radio stations across the country and on the Biz TV television network coast to coast as well. So I hope you'll check it out. Big, big show. Now, we're just talking with Governor Huckabee about Kamala Harris having time to go on The View this morning, but not having time to deal with the border crisis, which she was put in charge of. To be technically correct, Joe Biden delegated the border crisis to Kamala Harris and said, this is your gig now, to which she has paid, I think, all of one visit to the border. She thinks she was in El Paso for like 2 seconds back in July. But I think other than that, neither she and I don't think Joe Biden has ever been to the southern border, as Governor Huckabee was just saying. But it's interesting going back to The View, because everybody, you know, you think The View, it's New York City, it's a talk show. It's very left of center. They think four progressives against one conservative is fair odds. And I don't know, I think from brain power, that'd probably be about true. But they had a very interesting thing happen this morning. And I don't watch the show, so I had to find out about this later. But two of the four co-hosts from today's episode found out midway through the show that they had tested positive for coronavirus, and they had to be 96th off the stage before Kamala Harris came on. So here's how it went down. Anna Navarro and Sonny Hostin were on the program to start the show with Joy Behar and Sarah Haynes. But as the show returned from its first commercial break, they were asked to leave by a producer. A bewildered Behar admitted she didn't realize what was going on, and she was stopped from introducing the vice president as her co-host left the stage. They had to then throw to another commercial break. I know why. They had to throw that commercial break to get the Windex out there and scrub that desk down so that they didn't, you know, risk the VP getting COVID. After that break, they returned. That delayed the Harris interview, which was supposed to take up the majority of the program. It didn't end up starting until 10 minutes remaining in the hour. One of the more awkward moments in recent live television history, no doubt. Behar and Haynes asked the audience to participate and ask them questions as the show worked to set up the video feed for Harris to do the interview backstage instead of coming onto the stage. What a disaster. But you know what? It's kind of indicative of everything that is going on with our country right now. Why should a simple interview go easy? When with Biden-Harris, everything's hard, even just getting them on the screen. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.